Matt's report, the Saturday roundup, and we're coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Not a rerun. Last week I was called to attend to duties in Florida where my mother had a had a severe fall, and I had to take care of things down there. And we'll get on the subject of the sad state of health care in this nation, since I saw it firsthand, why insurance companies cannot be left to handle health care in this nation. We need a single-payer health care system in this country, and I'll explain what single-payer means a little later in the program. But all this nonsense that's coming from the insurance lobby and Big Pharma about national health care and how health will be rationed. No, that's what the insurance companies are doing today. They're rationing health care. This is not a question of a bad government program. What we need is a good government program. Not all government programs are evil. Ask anyone who's on Social Security about that. But we'll talk about the current debate here in Washington about health care. The Obama administration is waffling on promises it made earlier, as they are on a lot of other things. We'll talk about the health care. We'll talk about the tremendous amount of money that's going in to lobbying against any sort of health care system in this country. We'll talk about that. But before we get to all that, we'll also talk about the election in Iran. What we're seeing happening in Iran right now is really a replay of what happened in the United States in 2004 and also in 2000. George Bush stole those elections. And we've seen President Ahmadinejad, who actually did win in the last election. In the 2005 election, he won. The reason he won was because the opposition was fractured. Not the case now. What we're seeing is grand theft election in Iran. We'll talk about why that has happened, the proof of how it has happened, and we'll also take your calls. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. On Iran, of course, you don't have turnout over 80% to put incumbents back in. That just doesn't happen in any election anywhere. High turnout is against the incumbent. And in this case, there was an over 80% turnout. I mean, this country has never seen 80% turnout. The United States has never seen that. Well, we'll talk about why that happened and also certain parties that actually are just loving the fact that Ahmadinejad stole that election. It may not be who you think. It's certainly you might be somewhat surprised to hear some of the people that were hoping for an Ahmadinejad win and why they were hoping for an Ahmadinejad win. And we'll talk about all these and anything else you'd like to talk about on the program tonight. Again, the toll-free number, if you'd like to call the program, is 800-313-9443. We can also talk about some things that President Obama has waffled on, and we'll get back to all these subjects right after this short break. This is Wayne Matson from Washington.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson coming in live tonight from Washington, D.C., this June 13th. This is not a tape. As I mentioned last week, I was called to Florida to take care of some things for my mother, who had a terrible fall, and she is recuperating now out of the hospital, out of rehab, back at home. But we'll talk about the sorry state of health care in a moment. But let's get to the Iranian election. You are going to now be bombarded. We already have been bombarded with so much propaganda, not just about Iran, but also because of some people in the Obama administration getting tough with the Likud, Yisrael Betenu government. This is an extreme right-wing government. They're as far to the right as Ahmadinejad is in Iran. They are both bad news. It's a shame that they both don't leave the scene as quickly as possible, but because of the immense pressure and influence of the Israel lobby, you're going to be subjected. We are being subjected to the worst propaganda blitz from people like Wolfgang Blitzer, who, by the way, used to work for the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC. He was their public affairs spokesperson, and he is now basically running CNN, the CNN bureau out of Washington. This is the anniversary of the death of Tim Russert at NBC. He's been replaced by David Gregory, a real neocon lickspittle if I ever saw one. He will not report the truth. He will echo, he will regurgitate the propaganda that's given to him from the lobby sources. The lobby right now is trying to drive a wedge between Obama and the Democratic Congress. There are people in the Likud government in Israel who are now saying, let's target certain members of Congress if they don't come around and put pressure. I mean, that's a blatant interference in U.S. political system by a foreign government. No other government does that. The Russians don't do that. The Cubans don't do that. The Chinese don't do that. But Israel does it and gets away with it time and time again. And with this unfortunate incident at the Holocaust Museum, that is just, you know, perfect timing for a lot of people right now who are going to be throwing up all kinds of propaganda. My suggestion is don't listen to what they're saying on those talking head programs. Don't listen to what CNN and especially Fox News. Fox News is not a news channel. It is a pure propaganda channel. It's right-wing neocon propaganda, signed, sealed, and delivered. You can't believe anything you hear on that network. The Fox News Channel national network is, of course, much worse than the local Fox stations. At least they try to cover local events. It's hard to spin, you know, it's hard to spin a high-speed chase or a murder. But when you get to the Fox News Channel, that's the national network. That is just pure hokum. They haven't reported a news story correctly since they began back in the 1990s. It is a pathetic excuse for a news network. But you're going to hear it from ABC. You're going to hear it from CBS. But nevertheless, there are some good journalists left in some of those networks. Not many. But let's take a listen to CBS's report on the situation in Iran prior to the election, with the high turnout, with the opposition leader, Amir Hussein Mousavi, supporters anticipating that he would win. Ahmadinejad stole the election in a high turnout. That doesn't make mathematical or electoral sense whatsoever. But let's listen to this clip from CBS.
For days now, Iran's opposition supporters have been shouting slogans they'd normally only whisper. Like death to the government. Emboldened by their man, Mir Hussein Mousavi, who looks like he could actually win. A 67-year-old architect and painter, Mousavi has promised to liberalize the economy, negotiate with the West over Iran's nuclear program, and give young people, especially women, more freedom.
Change in a better way for Iran. It'll be better.
Mousavi is going into this election knowing he can count on the youth vote. Most of the people who show up at his campaign rallies are under 30, young people who want him to deliver on the freedom they crave.
But the real star of this campaign is Mousavi's unofficial running mate, his wife. Zahra Ranavart has shattered taboos by sharing the stage with him as an equal. calling to mind another high-profile political wife. I was active in politics long before people discovered Michelle Obama, a woman I respect, she told CBS News. Her wild popularity has got the competition rattled. During Iran's first ever presidential debate, Mousavi accused President Ahmadinejad of leading the country to dictatorship. Ahmadinejad countered by attacking Mousavi's wife. Holding up her resume, he said she was an academic cheat. She got a PhD without taking the university entrance exam, he said. Unfounded, but it went down well with Ahmadinejad's supporters, who think the president can do no wrong. They love his non-negotiable stance on Iran's nuclear program and his pork barrel spending on Iran's working class.
He is the president of poor people, all people, not the people who have money.
He is a hero in rural towns like Pulur, high in the mountains. At the local diner, it's unanimous. Everyone's voting for Ahmadinejad for the local improvements he's brought. But for every fan, there's a critic. And Ahmadinejad's backers are clearly shaken by the ferocious opposition. What looks like democracy to some looks to Iran's Revolutionary Guard like a potential uprising. A notice appeared last night on the Guard's website warning that any sign of a popular revolution would be crushed. Elizabeth Palmer, CBS News, Tehran.
Okay, well, what's happening tonight in Tehran is there are street demonstrations, not just in Tehran, but in cities across the country. When you hear a guy like Ahmadinejad attack the opposition leader Mousavi's wife, what does that sound like? It sounds like Karl Rove is advising the Ahmadinejad campaign. And this is very critical. The neocons before this election were actually hoping that Ahmadinejad would win because, see, he's good for their cause. Their cause is an Israeli strike and a U.S., potentially a U.S. military strike in Iran. They didn't want this reformist to win because their whole construct that they've developed over many years about a confrontation with Iran would go right down the drain. So when you listen to the rhetoric coming from Ahmadinejad attacking the wife, pork barrel spending. that's a page right out of George W. Bush's. And George W. Bush also stole an election. In 2004, we had high voter turnout, not 80% like they had in Iran, but in certain states, Ohio and in Florida and in many other states, high turnout. That was not turnout to put George Bush back in office. That was high turnout to get him out of office. We've seen the same thing play out here in Iran. Let me just explain something. You heard about Mousavi, the opposition leader. His base was the young people. 70% of the population of Iran is under the age of 30. Now, that was his base. That's Mousavi's base. They had over 80% turnout. Mathematically, with those numbers, there is no way Ahmadinejad could have won with 66 or 69% of the vote. They're still counting votes. There's just no way. Let me also explain this major anomaly. Mousavi is not an ethnic Persian. He's an Azerbaijani. He's from the city of Tabriz, which is the capital of East Azerbaijan, northern Iranian province. That's his city. He lost that city to Ahmadinejad. That's mathematically impossible. That would be like in the last election, Barack Obama losing the city of Chicago to John McCain. And that's exactly what has happened. So this was a fraudulent election. As I said, Ahmadinejad did win in 2005 because the opposition was fractured. That was not really the case this time around. The opposition rallied, except for one other reform candidate. The opposition rallied around Mousavi. Now, there's going to be a lot of people, AIPAC,
and that lobby, that Israel lobby, is going to try to play on this and say, look, you know, the Iranian people, they're a threat. They reelected Ahmadinejad. Wrong, wrong, wrong. They did not reelect Ahmadinejad. He stole the election. They were hoping he was going to win. The lobby was hoping they were going to win, and they are going to take full advantage of that right now to push their sordid agenda. Yet another war to get us involved with, and it's why you have to be reading the alternative press now. Don't listen to what they're saying on those corporate news networks. I mean, face it, NBC is owned by a defense contractor, GE. They have every vested interest in a war so they can sell more jet aircraft and all the other war armaments that they're into. I notice I have appeared on Press TV. That's the Iranian, and we'll get back to that, but right after this short break, I'll talk about Press TV and how they're having a real problem with covering this election. This is Wayne Mason from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Mason Report, the Saturday Roundup, and coming to you live tonight, June 13th, from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Iranian election. There's another factor that needs to be mentioned also with this election. The Western media is talking about a green revolution. That's because the opposition candidate, Mousavi, used the color green. Now, we know who uses themed revolutions. That's the international troublemaker, George Soros. Now, he will probably try to glom onto this. And in doing so, he will create a backlash against the opposition in Iran. Because, as we all know, Soros is tied in with all that's evil in this world. He's an international troublemaker who thrives on chaos. This man is no progressive. I would note that I've talked to a couple other people who have websites, including Alex Jones, whose show I was on this past week. Apparently, he's under attack from the Soros people. I've been under attack from the Soros people. The reason we're under attack is we do not toe that Soros line. Now, he has his own websites. We know who they are. MoveOn.org, a pathetic. Now, MoveOn is in favor of keeping troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's not progressive. The Daily Coast, Democratic Underground, all these various Soros-funded operations are probably going to now talk about a green revolution. He's trying to basically take over the opposition. He will try that. He'll say, oh, here's another themed revolution. He did the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, the Rose Revolution in Georgia. He failed miserably in trying to do something called the Twitter Revolution in Moldova. People are starting to get wise of this character. I would note that Cindy Sheehan recently said that MoveOn.org came to her when she was running Camp Casey down in Crawford, Texas, and said, look, why don't you pipe down on a total troop withdrawal from Iraq and just say you're in favor of a partial troop withdrawal. She threw him out as she should have. These Soros funded operations. He is, as I said, he is no progressive. He's part of this whole globalist construct. He's an international troublemaker. And Bernie Madoff is going to be sentenced, by the way, this next week. It's too bad that Soros isn't standing next to him. That guy belongs in a prison for what he's done. He speculated on currencies in Southeast Asia. He destroyed economies. That is not progressive. Destroying national economies is fascist. George Soros is a fascist. He was a fascist in Hungary back during World War II. He helped round up Jews to be sent to concentration camps, he and his father. He's quite proud of what he did. He has no remorse over that. This guy, and Soros, by the way, Soros is not his real name. And as I point out, if you take the two S's, I mean, it's spelled the same way backwards and forwards. If you take the two S's and turn them into dollar signs, you have in between oro, which, of course, is the Spanish and the Italian word for gold. That's what Mr. Soros is all about. He's all about making money. He thrives on chaos. He makes money. We know, you know, that's disaster capitalism at its worst, and it's personified in the person of George Soros. So for this guy to be, you know, claiming otherwise is a fraud. It's a total fraud. Unfortunately, we're now seeing the Obama administration not taking a strong stance against the election fraud in Iran. They're saying, well, we can work with, you know, whoever turns out to be the winner. That is awful, and that's because the people in Obama's White House, like Rahm Emanuel and these other Israel lobby people, are wanting to see Ahmadinejad reelected without a problem. They want to see him serve another term because he serves their purpose. He serves Israel's purpose. He serves Benjamin Netanyahu's purpose because with Ahmadinejad, he's the best thing that ever happened to that government in Israel. He's the best thing that happened to the neocons in this country. And that's why they were very, very encouraged about maybe Ahmadinejad getting a second term. He's as bad as they are. He's really, Ahmadinejad, with all of his Holocaust denial, all this stuff, he's like out of central casting for these people. If you need an enemy, it's just like Osama bin Laden. That guy came out of central casting. And let's face it, Ayatollah Khomeini was supported when he was in exile in Paris by the CIA. So here again, the CIA got rid of the Mossadegh government back in the 50s. At least Obama apologized for that during his speech in Cairo. A guy like Ahmadinejad, you got to wonder whether he's also put in office by the same powers. He may be the biggest fraud going. He claims he's a nationalist, this guy seems like he's taking his orders from the directors here in Washington and Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and elsewhere. But anyway, if you'd like to call the program and talk about Iran, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We also recently had elections and parliamentary elections in Lebanon. The coalition, which includes Hezbollah, which is Hassan Nasrallah, which is allied to a Christian group. They were defeated. We'll talk about that election when we come back right after this break. This is Wade Massey from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington. And I was mentioning Press TV. I've done Press TV on quite a few occasions. It's actually a pretty good network on covering international topics. I notice that they're having a real problem in covering what's happening in Iran because they're funded by the government, and the government there is the is Ahmadinejad and Ayatollah Khamenei. Although they're you know saying, well, Ahmadinejad won, and you know it was a fair election, I've noticed that there's different news reports coming from Press TV. This one, for example, protests erupt after historic Iran election. Supporters of presidential hopeful Mir Hossein Mousavi have taken to the streets after Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was declared victor by a landslide. Chanting, "Mousavi, take back our vote," thousands of supporters of the former prime minister in the capital, Tehran, expressed their disbelief at the results of the Friday election. The protests reportedly got violent after they scuffled with the Iranian police. Mousavi cried foul over election irregularities and described the final count of the vote as sleight of hand by those in charge, warning of a dangerous scenario in the country. Mousavi had declared himself the definite winner of the election shortly after polls closed on Friday. I'm the absolute winner of the election by a very large margin. So you've got different kinds of reports. One, some reports are not saying anything about what's happening in with the demonstrations and others. So obviously, Press TV looks like it's split. We'll see how that turns out. If there's a all telephone communications, by the way, to Tehran have been cut off. Obviously, the government is employing a what's called a technological blockade. Now, that's something right out of the neocon playbook, because they're talking about doing that in the United States if something happens, cutting off communications, censoring the Internet. So Ahmadinejad really looks like he's playing along with the neocon playbook 100%. Anyway, so that's the situation in Iran. We don't know how that's going to turn out. Let's go to the phones. Marilyn is calling from California. Marilyn, are you there?
Hi, it's good to have you back. I missed you last Saturday.
Well, thanks. I know I would have done it. I was just running errands down in Florida last Saturday, so I'm all prepared to do this remotely, but it just didn't happen.
Well, you know, one of the things you talked about, well, I've heard people talking about Ahmadinejad, and he certainly appears to be a U.S. asset. There's just no other way to look at it. Everything he does is so outrageous as to be unreal. Do you remember back, several years ago when they had this outrageous program pushing nuclear energy there, and they had dancers going around with vials of plutonium or something like that? It was like
I do remember that, and it was such a
it was so it outrageous. Like, it had to be a CIA organized plot, you know. I mean, what else would it be? It's crazy.
CIA or Mossad or both. I mean, it was ridiculous. I remember that, and like I say, this guy Ahmadinejad, just like the Ayatollah Khomeini. They after the Shah fell, of course, we supported Khomeini. We had CIA agents. He was flown from Paris to Tehran.
How could the United States ever allow a big country like that with such a large intelligentsia and all that oil not to be under our control? I don't think we've ever lost control of them. I mean, if we put radical Islamic clerics in power. Looks like Ahmadinejad is just this fallout from that. He's just another one of them. And I'd be willing to bet you even the opposition that they know that there's these students and this huge population that's very intelligent that wants democracy there. Of course, I can imagine Soros funding somebody that fills that bill like they did Obama, who, hoodwinked half of the United States into supporting him. So why not bring out some quote-unquote green, the color candidate? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that they wouldn't. They controlled everything in the world these days.
Yeah, and the reason I point out that why the Soros people should not be trying to claim that it's their green revolution or that, you know, they try to, you know, take over the copyright on it is the province where Mousavi is from, the flag of that province is green. So obviously he's going to use a color which is very local to where he's from in northern Iran, up in the Azerbaijan province. So it has nothing to. But Soros will, of course, he and his minions will, of course, try to take credit for this, and that's where we could see real blowback against the opposition, because if it looks like Soros is getting his fingers in there, that's just perfect for Ahmadinejad. He could point to foreign interference in the process.
This guy provides. We always have the best enemies money can buy. I mean, as long as Ahmadinejad is there, then he can continue to spout this ridiculous rhetoric and justify us eventually possibly going in there. I don't believe it's going to happen anytime soon. I believe that's just going to be, something that they've been using that for several years now to scare the American people into thinking we could have war at any minute. You know, I think they're going to probably do something over here before they even go into Iran. You know, probably want to round everybody up and vaccinate them. If you look at Iraq, too, everything we've done in Iraq has been to to split up the factions, the Sunni, the Shiites, the Kurdish, and there's even this map going around, if you've ever seen it, where we were, it's a rearranged map of Iraq and Iran. But all of it's been to the benefit of Iran. They were sending in tons of these young children suicide bombers. Remember that? For years.
Oh, not only... Right, not only that, but remember our wonderful friend Ahmad Chalabi. He's basically a paid agent of the Iranians, and I mean that. But he was also a good friend of Richard Perle. So you look at those connections. Ahmad Chalabi, an agent of the Iranian regime, but also good friends with Richard Perle. Richard Perle supporting the Mujahideen Khalq, which is a terrorist group that's been setting off bombs. And every time they set off a bomb in Iran, of course, bombing mosques, bombing shopping centers, who does that benefit? That benefits Ahmadinejad.
That's
so this
right.
Is a,
because he,
this is a very... Right,
you know,
this is
also,
a very
I hear you talking about progressive and neocon and all that. Now, I'm an independent. I'm probably more on the conservative side, but do you really think there's any such thing as a difference between neocons and progressives? They're all controlled by the same cadre of evil people, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at George Soros and his gang that claim they're progressives, they're really more closely associated with the neocons. Everyone knows that Soros is basically a water carrier for the Rothschilds out of London. I mean that you don't get any more neocon than that.
And, so how did they get these labels if we know they're doing the same things? I mean, they're all actually, is it just cover, like right and left cover? I mean, they don't have any different program. Like Obama has no real different program other than Bush. Everything Bush did led up to the where it makes Obama it makes it easier for Obama to do the things he's doing. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. There was a report on NBC tonight about how Obama railed against Bush giving ambassadorships to his large, you know, these big donors to his campaign. He said, this is awful. So what has Obama turned around and done? He's given the ambassadorships in London, Paris, and Tokyo to his top donors to his campaign. I mean, you know, how do you spell hypocrisy?
And how do you like Evan Thomas of Newsweek calling him of God? Wasn't that disgusting?
Well, Evan Thomas,
his uncle setting him up Americans to be brainwashed to the max, you know.
Evan Thomas's uncle is probably turning over his grave. A lot of people don't know that his uncle was Norman Thomas, who was the perennial socialist candidate for president of the United States.
Okay.
I mean, he ran against FDR. He thought FDR was too conservative. And I don't know, Evan Thomas, he's just like a lot of these guys, like Thomas Friedman and the rest. These people are just too much enraptured with their own false intellectualism, as far as I'm concerned. I was going to talk about the Lebanese election. Friedman saying, "Oh, this is a rejection." See, Lebanon has proportional representation because of the different groups there. You got the Shias, the Sunnis, the Christians, even the Greeks and Armenians, and the Druze. They all have their own. They all get their own, basically their own piece of the pie. Actually, the Hezbollah Christian coalition got more votes in Lebanon, but that didn't equate to parliamentary seats because of this proportional representation. So that for people to say that Hezbollah was totally rejected is just not true. Hezbollah was popular because they were the only force that stood up against the Israeli sneak attack on Lebanon in 2006. And they gave them a run for their money. Those rockets that were being fired, some of them, although they said they didn't have guided systems, they were hitting some major targets deep inside Israel. So
you think Hezbollah is actually independent from internationalist control then?
They say that Hezbollah takes its orders from Iran.
That means they take their orders from Soros and company then, huh?
Well, you know, I'm sure he's got his people there. He's an infiltrator. He's much like the Trotskyite movement. The Trotskyites were professional troublemakers. They were the fifth column in the Spanish Civil War. Leon Trotsky, when he was assassinated under orders of Joe Stalin, you know, he was on his way to Washington to give the list of all the KGB, prior to the KGB, the old Soviet secret police. He was going to give all their names to J. Edgar Hoover, and he was going to testify before the House Un-American Activities Committee. And that's when Stalin said, that's it. He's pushed the envelope once too far now. Get rid of the guy.
Yeah.
So, But that's what they do. It's to create these false conflicts. That's the whole Hegelian approach, and that's what Soros is basically a neo-Trotskyite, but he's not. He's certainly not a progressive. He and his movement, they've destroyed the labor union movement in this country. You know, they only represent now like 8% of the American workforce. The AFL-CIO has been split severely, and that's all to the benefit of these vulture capitalists like George Soros and his friends.
Yes, I think that there's going to be false conflicts continuing and escalating all over the world, and more power grabbed by a very small amount of people. I think that's the whole issue. Anytime
you see
a conflict, you know, probably both sides are controlled by the globalists, you know.
Oh, I think in the case, yeah, when we see how they, you know, they take advantage of these situations, and Soros is probably the most egregious, but certainly not the only one. But anyway, Marilyn, thanks for calling in. Okay. Let's go to Clarence, who's been holding on in Oklahoma. Clarence, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Wayne. Excuse me, here, I got a clear throat. Allergy season.
Go ahead.
Yes, there's a, I like to collect Lyndon Johnson quotes. Lyndon Johnson, you know, and I'm in my late 50s, and I remember him very well. He was, I mean, I know what a buyer. Well, Lyndon Johnson was a very complex figure. But
yes.
He was also very interesting. You know, he knew how to wield political power.
Absolutely. The term jawboning came from Lyndon Johnson.
Exactly. Barry Goldwater once said, you know, the way Lyndon Johnson shook hands, he said if he just kind of went part way up your arm, that was a half Johnson. If you went all the way up, that was a full Johnson.
Exactly.
And but I liked one time at I read somewhere in one of the books I read on him, a cabinet meeting, they were talking about supporting some dictator down in South America. And one of his aides pointed, I said, but sir, this man's an SOB. And Johnson said, yeah, but he's our SOB.
That was Rafael Trujillo of the Dominican Republic, who wound up being assassinated, but he was our SOB.
Yeah.
We've had many before him and many after him.
Yeah,
and I'm beginning to think that Ahmadinejad may be one of our SOBs too.
That really does. I have that suspicion too. I had that suspicion before listening tonight. Before you brought it up, I said, you know, is this everything that you see is not what it seems to be. You know,
exactly. When you look at the election, you know, in Iran, you see, you know, Mousavi, the opposition candidate, should have done very well. Call the blue provinces, we call them blue states, basically stolen. Now, Ahmadinejad did have some legitimate support from the rural areas where people aren't, you know, in Iran aren't, they're not all that well educated.
Well, kind of like from here, where I live in Oklahoma.
This is the reddest
state, you know.
He's strong in what we could call the red provinces in Iran.
Yes, exactly.
And who does that sound like? That sounds, you know, he's a fundamentalist. He caters to the most extreme Shia Muslim factions in the country. He's supported by these there are reports now out of Tehran that some Ayatollahs who supported the opposition candidate are now under arrest. So there's a fracture right in amongst the religious hierarchy there. So this is I would say this is far from over, but I'm just hoping that external influences don't start to actually actively get involved. I would like to see more from Obama about, you know, calling foul on this, because, you know, he's saying, well, we can work with either side. That kind of indicates to me that we're not all that opposed to seeing a second term of Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, well, I'll let you get on to any other callers you have, and I'll say goodnight from the Fourth Reich here where I live.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling in, Clarence. Yes, I also want to get to this healthcare issue. I know there's a lot of people who like Ron Paul. I've reported extensively on this AH1N1, what's called the swine flu. It really isn't. This thing is a genetically modified virus that was created in a laboratory. I pinpointed it to the University of Madison in Wisconsin and the National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg, Manitoba. This virus is a recreation with some genetic modifications of the 1918 flu that killed, you know, millions of people around the world. It was taken from a corpse of an Eskimo woman in a small place called Brevik Mission, Alaska, in 1997. The cultures were sent to the Armed Forces Laboratory in Rockville, Maryland, and that's not very far from the infamous Fort Detrick. This thing has been genetically modified to put in human flu, with swine flu and avian flu, very serious influenza, and the World Health Organization has now declared a phase 6 pandemic alert, and it's not to be taken lightly. It's not. I don't think this is hype. Although we don't hear much now on television like we did a couple weeks back, but let's play what Ron Paul had to say about the swine flu, and I'll make some comments about what he had to say.
Looks like our government's getting us pretty upset and concerned about the swine flu. This is interesting to me, not only for political reasons, but also as a physician. It makes me think back to 1976, the first year I served in the Congress.
We'll come back to Ron Paul after this short break, and we'll pick up on it.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Society Roundup. We're running a little short. Let me just paraphrase what Ron Paul said about the swine flu. He said, the 1975 outbreak, more people died from the vaccinations administered by the government. I was in the Navy. I got, or I should say 1976, I got that flu shot. One person died of the flu, 25 died of the complications from the vaccine. What's different here is this is a genetically engineered influenza virus. The Public Health Service, I don't trust everything out of the CDC, but let's just look at the latest from England. There are now spikes in certain parts of the world. Australia is having a tremendous problem with this. They've had outbreaks in various places in Australia. There are new cases now popping up in England, in Scotland, in Hawaii. We've had at least 10 deaths in New York City. What makes this different is the genetically modified aspect to this. Not everything the government does is bad, and that's where I differ somewhat with the libertarian, the, you know, plain vanilla libertarian approach. Privatization is not always a good idea. That's why I'm for single payer. Let me just explain. Single payer health is that you've got one body, either government or a public commission like Medicare, paying all the bills, whether it's to your doctor, to your hospital, to your pharmacist, to whomever. It's coming out of one pot. It covers everybody. This is what they have in Canada, in Australia, in Taiwan, and many other countries around the world. There's been talk about privatizing the Postal Service. Now, let me tell you what will happen if we privatize the Postal Service. Those small post offices in small towns across the country that are some of them are the size of they're one room. They'll be closed. They'll be closed, and people who live in rural areas will not be able to have access to the postal system. Well, who does that benefit? Well, you can pay four times as much money to Federal Express or UPS, but not everything the government. I'm for good government, not bad government, and. You know, Franklin Roosevelt got us out of the Depression by creating an infrastructure to get people back to work. That was the government was running that. That wasn't AIG. By the way, AIG, let me tell you what insurance companies, they ration. AIG is now refusing to pay the claim on that U.S. airplane that landed in the Hudson River. That's what insurance companies do. They do that all the time. AIG and the rest of these insurance companies cannot be trusted. They've already ripped this off. But when you give companies total control, which the Bush administration tried to do, basically he turned the U.S. government into a wholly owned subsidiary of big business. Corporations are not beholden to people. They're beholden to stockholders, to their CEOs who make these obscene salaries and these obscene benefits and bonuses. That's what corporations do. And when you turn everything over to corporations, you have a situation like you had in Chile in the 1970s and 80s. It's called corporate fascism. That's what was pushed by Benito Mussolini, and that's what was pushed by Adolf Hitler. That is certainly that's not the solution. You need a public-private partnership in this country, and that should include a health care system and single payer. Anyway, that'll do it for this week. This is Wayne Mattson from Washington, D.C. with the Wayne Mattson Report. We will be back this time next week on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining us.